Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt, kind enough to be hanging out with us today here on ESPN Radio. You guys are used to seeing her blowing up on Around the Horn, seeing her all over here on ESPN, hosting MSGPM over at MSG Network. And Monica, it always is interesting to me, like, going in and doing, because you've done radio here on ESPN, also game night on the weekends, the difference between TV and radio in these spots, because TV, we got all this wonderful editing, we got people that are going to chop things down. In radio, we all get to hear your dog in the background of this show in a way that I freaking love.
If it's not the barking, it's, okay, let me give her a bone so she can chill. Now the bone is like 2 feet away from the mic, and it's loud. So I apologize. Shout out to my dog lovers or pet lovers. Y'all can relate. You know how
I was going to say, there's no apologies necessary around here. Like, I think we need more dog voices represented on radio, on TV, in these spots. And I appreciate that it doesn't matter what you're trying to do. Dog's got needs.
Could care less. Could care less about my agenda.
Unbothered in this spot. So if you hear barks in the background, just know we're all about it around here.
Her name's Hoops, for the record. Just, you know, wish
aww.
Her.
Aw. Well, yeah. I was going to say, you know what? That is true. We should name Hoops in this for when she decides to join the show at some point here throughout this time.
Inevitable.
Now, Wes, in addition to Hoops jumping around and joining the show, we're also going to talk to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, in a little bit. Curious his thoughts on Trevor Lawrence's quotes coming out here and basically saying, I don't have this chip on my shoulder. Football's not going to define me in a way that may not be allowed for other quarterbacks, but I think is a part of a growing trend around this generation of players. We'll also, speaking of this generation of players, get to talk to Dejounte Carrington, former Baylor guard, now getting ready for the WNBA draft coming up tonight. And Monica, you and I both saw the WNBA account was getting ready, firing it off, and the league fits right now coming out. Everyone is ready. That's my favorite part, Monica, about watching people transition from college to the pros, is watching the outfit glow-ups that go on. Because, you know, when we're all in college, proud Georgetown alum over here, Notre Dame on this side, you're just trying to make it work on, like, a college budget in all this spot. And then all of a sudden you get to that next level, and it's amazing how nice stuff starts to look.
Golic, listen. Okay, yes, you and I, one level to the next. But even now, in particular, you might not feel this way watching college football, but when I watch these girls play, they are so much cuter than I ever even dreamed of being while playing basketball. When I tell you I used to roll out of bed from my pregame nap, like hair flat, might have been drooling, like, I don't know. All right, I'm tired. It's time to play basketball. Let me warm up and get ready. There was no lashes, no makeup, no none of that. Like, I am in awe of the fact that not only are they cute when the ball tips up, they're cute at the final horn, honey, and they get in buckets.
Monica, okay, I'm so glad you brought this up because I've been fascinated, right?
Like, so fascinated.
When I was playing offensive line in college, like, the thing I worried about the most was, is this road white jersey making me look as fat as I feel in this right now? But you're right. I need to know what kind of products we're talking about that allow those lashes to stay in place throughout the duration of an entire game, because they're out here balling. Like, Dejounte Carrington was a part of one of the most controversial calls of the tournament. Tons of contact. It was a foul, by the way, and we'll say that when she comes on. But I'm amazed at the way everything stays in place. It is a remarkable testament to whatever product's going to work there.
Well, I cannot wait to ask her, because now that we mentioned the foul, not only did she get fouled, but her lashes still stayed in place. Like, she got smacked in the face. Woo, child. Can't wait to get into this.
I was going to say, we got to get to the bottom of all this. So very excited to talk to Dejounte. It's Jhené Angola Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Monica McNutt here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. Monica, we had the 76ers and the Nets play last night, and it was sort of the womp, 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 because we knew who wasn't playing in that game. No Kevin Durant, no James Harden, no Blake Griffin. And we got a game that was about what we all expected, and it involved a lot of great Joel Embiid. And I remember sitting there after the game last night feeling like, all right, at this point, the 76ers now take over for the best record in the Eastern Conference. They're sitting there in first place after that head-to-head identical record battle. And Joel Embiid looked all sorts of great yet again. He's a guy that's been so potent, and he's been healthier than usual. Injuries followed this guy around a lot of his career. Am I wrong for sitting here and thinking that it's his MVP to lose right now based on not only his skill, but also the good press that this team tends to get?
I think you're wrong, yeah. I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to go there, Golic. You make a legitimate case, and I think the press part of this is really tricky, and I have been sort of trained by One Tony Reality not to use the word narrative because I will get docked points on Around the Horn, but I'm going to use it here because this is a safe space. And the narrative around this Philadelphia 76ers team has been they've got all this talent. Joel and Ben himself might be oil and water. We don't actually have a real answer, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put it together. Insert Doc Rivers. Insert 2021 season, and all of a sudden they seem to be getting it together. So yes, I think the narrative around this group definitely is going to help the case for Joel Embiid. And then, who am I kidding? Like, he's putting up the numbers too. He's been a beast all year round, and for the most part, he's been able to stay on the floor except for this last little run where he was out with that lower leg extremity accident or injury. But I just think we've got a lot of great candidates this year. And I, for one, am still leaning with the Joker out in Denver. And I even think the injury to Jamal Murray, if that team can stay, for me, if that team can stay within four, I know Holland said three or two, you still got to look at what he's doing considering what is not around him, particularly with the absence of Murray this year. Joel is a great candidate, though, but I'm not ready to give it to him right now. No. Because Tobias and Ben have been really good this season, though, too.
They have. I think one of the things we talk about in the Doc Rivers acquisition is he is the Tobias Harris whisperer on this team. He manages to somehow always get the best out of that one dude in particular. Bomani Jones and I talked about this on Highly Questionable one day. One of the best stats that tends to correlate with MVPs in the past, with only, I think, three notable exceptions, is win shares per 48. Nikola Jokic sitting there at one, Joel Embiid not far behind him at number two. So you're right. Statistically, you can make the case for both. I think that relationship with Simmons is really interesting to consider, though, Monica, because you're right. It has not necessarily always worked. We've talked about there needing to be kind of a leader in the room the way Jimmy Butler was when he was on that team. But it seems like now, because Joel Embiid is so clearly the MVP of this team, that Ben Simmons, who got really a lot of flack for never just developing the three-point part of his game, now gets to go out there with confidence and say, all right, I'm going to go and get buckets going towards the lane, and I'm going to strap people up on defense. Hell, he's so confident because of Joel, he can go on with Rachel Nichols and say, I'm the defensive player of the year, and start to slander people. So it feels like it's, I think part of it, you're right, is credit for getting this thing righted in a way we weren't sure these two were capable of.
I agree. I'm not ready to give it to Joel Golic. And I even think, you know, Joel has been vocal about wanting not just the MVP, but the Defensive Player of the Year award, which, you know, his boy, his teammate is in the running for in terms of snatching that award. This is going to be really interesting because I have said and will continue to say, I'm not going to be one of them TV people where you bring up a clip of me saying one thing and saying something different. No. I continue to maintain that the East has been the Nets to lose. And I felt like the argument about chemistry was very lazy and it was not going to be an issue with this particular big three because outside of James Harden, no, including James Harden, when you consider CP3, all of them already had an experience playing alongside of a superstar and now it's just about winning, right? And they're going to figure it out. So with that in mind, I don't know that I could give the Sixers finishing one potentially in the East enough credence to give Joel my nod in terms of MVP because I just don't think the Nets are that interested in the regular season, quite honestly.
That is a tough part of this, though, and we were reminded of this. I wish I could remember who we talked to yesterday that brought up that this is – oh, we were talking to PJ Carlissimo, who was on the call for that game last night, that people – and I often forget this is a regular season award, so you're right. It makes it difficult with that caveat because – I have been, and you talk about saying one thing and then saying another right after that. I have been the leader of the James Harden MVP train and then just came in here today and decided we were going to give it to Joel Embiid. So one of us is subscribing to journalistic integrity and the other is a radio hack over here just hitting you with the take of the day for getting the James Harden that I have been trying to will into existence that Ryan Hollins brought up with us earlier. Yeah. And probably rightly so, Monica, because if he can get back in time, we have seen. Oh, yes. There we go. Oops, making her appearance right now.
And this is probably going to go on for a second, so let's just ignore her. Hey, can you, like, let's not do that right now.
Coming up next, while Hoops tries to get her takes off right now, by the way, that sounded like James Harden and a bid for Damian Lillard as the MVP.
I can't grab her. She just went upstairs.
We're going to see if we can get Hoops on camera for the ESPN Plus audience. And coming up next, we're also going to try and fix the NBA's load management situation next here. Chinay and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Monica McNutt and Hoops here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
changed odds around the third overall pick in the draft. We got some movement for people that might be interested in that, and that's going to be a lot more people soon. I saw this from our own Adam Schefter earlier today that the NFL announced what it's calling its first U.S. sportsbook partnerships with Caesars Entertainment, DraftKings, and FanDuel. These companies are now the NFL's, quote, official sports betting partners. Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwuma, usually Chinay Agwuma, Monica McNutt here with us today. I get in these habits so often, Monica. I kid you not. Kelsey Riggs, who you know very well, hosts, does a great job hosting with you on the ACC Network, covering women's hoops. We've had Kelsey in studio here a couple of times, and I get so firmly engraved in my little patterns that after 2.5 hours of doing a show with Kelsey one day, I looked dead at her and said, you know, Chinay, could not have been more caught off guard by it. So I'm a big dumb animal who gets caught in these rhythms sometimes. Monica McNutt joining us today.
You are a hard worker. You are a creature of habit. Although Kelsey and Chinay mixing those two up is like, woo, that's a big difference.
Yeah, a little bit.
We respect it because you hustling. Go like, you get grace with us. We love the hustle.
We appreciate that. The hustle always appreciated around here. That's why we got love. Monica McNutt kind enough to join us here on the show. And it's interesting, Monica, coming off of last night, we've heard a lot of conversation not only about, you know, the Eastern Conference, what's going to happen with the Nets and the injury situation there, but we heard a very impassioned Stephen A. Smith yesterday upset about what's going on with some of the load management situations here. Kevin Durant was a scratch from the game because it became a back-to-back for the Nets against the 76ers. And it's brought up this larger conversation, Monica, because we've seen so much this year change, I think, because of the quick turnaround. But now, even anecdotally, I can't remember the number of Wednesday nights where I've been looking up at a primetime matchup and kind of had that, aw, because we realize so many of the stars are out in this. So do we think this is becoming a full-blown problem yet for the NBA, Monica, to where they're going to look up? And the NBA's been good about addressing certain issues. The play-in tournaments come up. They've changed the rules around the lottery because they didn't like tanking. Do you think this is something the NBA starts to look at and say, we can't have this long-term?
I don't think we're there yet, Golic. There's a world in which we could get there, potentially. But again, unlike the NFL, MLS, like any of the professional leagues, the NBA is star-driven in a way that no one else can compare. And so thus, you've got to protect your stars. And I also think we can't have this conversation in a vacuum. This is not, and if we can use our new vocabulary word from Ryan Hollins, the Hollins Dictionary, this was not predetermined load management, right? Like, KD not only is coming off of a recent injury with the hamstring in this particular season, big picture, you know, he's got to be really mindful of what's going on with his lower extremities coming off that Achilles. He missed the whole season plus, right? So I just wonder, is there a world in which maybe incentives, you can incentivize guys being available if they are in fact healthy. But even in my own thought process, mulling over these incentives, like the ultimate incentive is that Larry O'Brien trophy. And so I don't know if there's a number that you can throw these superstars that we want to see that will cause them to be on the floor, because this isn't the caliber guy who's 9, 10, 12 on the roster. Like, they're secure. They're focused on one thing in their career, and that's becoming NBA champions.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Monica McNutt. That's the interesting part, and I've heard people actually criticize people in the media, fans in the world outside of basketball, not just the players, for creating an environment where it feels like at times that's all that matters, Monica, because we know and see so many of these players.
Don't do that, Golic. Don't start with me. Oh. I have zero time for this. That is what matters. We are in a results-driven, like, don't.
I'm with you.
Don't do this. Don't do this, people. I get it. I love insert player names charity. I love that they're ties to their community. I love the things that they stand for, but let's not do this. Nobody pays them hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. I don't know how that math works, but they're not getting paid because of what they do off the court. So cut it out. If fans didn't do this, this is what you did when you signed up to be an NBA player and put yourself in a position to win. So talk to me. Don't talk to me about that.
And that is the interesting part, though, because I feel like we do talk out of both sides of our mouths with a lot of, I'm not saying us right here, but I'm saying the general media blob that people refer to, because we look at it and say, yes, it's all about championships and that pursuit, but then how does that look? How does that manifest in all these different ways? Because I can look at a situation like Dame Lillard in Portland and say, yeah, that guy's doing everything he can on the court the way he approaches basketball, but decision-making wise, there are some people that were genuinely shocked when he decided to re-sign and stay with Portland because it doesn't seem like a place that's necessarily surrounded him with the pieces to be in a championship contention like this. And I'm glad Hoops agrees with me on this, but I feel like, Monica, that's the difficult part in how we legislate this outside too, because it seems like people like Julius Erving are going to criticize Brooklyn for buying championships when those players, especially a guy like James Harden, clearly wants to get a ring, wants to get it by any means necessary, even if people are going to criticize his loyalty and his willingness to stay and work through it and all this traditional sportsy stuff.
So I think, again, there's a staircase, right, in each of these conversations. I have nothing negative to say about Dame Lillard. Am I surprised that he opted to stay? A little bit, but he's a guy that's talked about loyalty. I am not upset with James Harden either because they went and to go team up. I think where I get frustrated when we have this conversation is when people want to say, oh, don't talk about them as an athlete because of all these things that they're doing off the court or off the field, whatever the sport we're talking about. No, we are talking about winning, which the sports industry is a results-driven industry. The goal is to win. And so for us to act like, oh, this person of strong character is untouchable in terms of criticism on the court, I just don't think that those things are exclusive. I think that's ridiculous. And so what I admire is any guy that's putting out their work, doing their job, elevating their teammates, being accountable. We don't even always have to agree opinion-wise. Like, I might not personally be on Twitter as much as KD is, but KD, again, hops on Twitter, hops on the court, handles his business. What's there to say? You know what I mean? So the winning part is the umbrella that covers it all. How people go about pursuing their career, I think, is another thing. And I have no problem, again, giving guys credit for loyalty or off the court stuff. But when it comes down to it, Golic, when we have the conversations about the greatest, and if you don't want to be in that conversation, that's fine. But when we have the conversations about the greatest, one of the things that comes up is rings, because it is a results-driven industry and winning matters.
Winning does matter. It's especially important. By the way, that's a great reminder of the LeBron James special anytime he would get in one of those hairy finals series where he says, you know, I'm a father. I've got everything going on outside. This is bigger than basketball in this spot. That we don't necessarily, all that stuff is great, but we don't necessarily.
It's great. Awesome. We're not taking anything away from that. No. But we also talk about this series, and are you about to win or lose?
Yep. I was going to say, answer the question for us, LeBron. Why are you guys down 3-1 to the Warriors right
Please,
now?
Please, let us know.
But coming up next, we are in a results-driven business. That is especially pro sports. You are paid handsome sums of money to go out there and do it. But what if one player is already saying before he's played it down that that's not what is going to define him? We'll figure out if that's something anyone should be concerned about next here after this word from Angie. Now, when your plumbing springs a leak, you need someone there right away. I have lived this nightmare with my parents of a pipe bursting in the middle of the night. It still haunts me to this day. That's why I always need to have help ready. So whether you're planning a home renovation or you just want to find the best pro for the job, and when you own a home, it's important to keep up that maintenance as the season changes. So wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could have all that handled in one app? Meet Angie, your home for everything home. Expert pros, hundreds of projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. So when that emergency leak comes, you got someone there ready to help. Download the Angie app today. Trevor Lawrence, no chip on his shoulder, no problem. We'll ask Marcus Spears next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our draft preview rolls along coming up in about 10 minutes. We did running backs Tuesday. We got linebackers today. Interesting name to watch in here. I am going to give you an absolute mountain of a man that somehow people still haven't fully been hip to. But before we get to those other positions, we know the draft starts with quarterbacks, Monica. And we heard some interesting comments from the presumptive number one overall pick. And for more on that, we're delighted to go to the Goodyear hotline to talk to our friend, ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL defensive lineman Marcus Spears with us now. What's going on, Marcus?
What's up, my family? How y'all living, man? Monica, I'm good. Glad you're on today.
Hey,
Straight
Spears.
Up. What's happening?
Listen, what's I know we got real questions, Golic, but I just need to know where this headshot, circa, where was this headshot from? Because Spears, baby, headshot.
Hold on,
a little
you know what I mean? That's how you marry the woman of your dreams. You keep yourself up. You know what I mean?
The upkeep is real right there. Believe me, Marcus, I'm over here taking notes, trying to figure it out. So we're gonna learn something from you here today, Marcus. But I'm curious. I saw you guys on NFL Live earlier. You can catch Marcus on NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern. Talking about Trevor Lawrence saying he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. His dad saying that he's not a win a Super Bowl at all costs kind of guy. Is this, Marcus, something that NFL teams are still concerned about, or are we dealing with a new generation of player here?
I think it's new generation of player, but some foundational things don't change, MG, you know that. Like, look, the concerning part for me was he could walk away from the game at any time or something to that man. Like, that's the part that bothers me. We all know in this social media age, the Instagram, the Twitter, these dudes want to be famous as well as play well, right? So it's a different mindset, and I'm not putting that on Trevor, but we have to identify when generations are changing, when type of players are changing. And yeah, we love the old school. We love that chip on your shoulder mentality or whatever you need to do, the dog mentality, the mamba mentality. These kids have that. They express it in a different way. They grow up playing against each other, so they're not unfamiliar with opponents. They all compare notes. They all go to these high school camps, these college camps, and then end up in the same draft class. The mentality is different. But one thing I will say, I have never said one time watching Trevor Lawrence play football that he doesn't care about football. So that's all you know me, I'm a film guy. What the film say? You can go home after practice and play Fortnite, video games, watch movies all you want. When you show up to that building and when it's time to handle your business, you better be prepared and you better be ready to go to and play at the highest level. As a teammate, that's all I would care about. What you do with your individual time, what you do when you're away from this facility, that's on you. But we all have a responsibility and an obligation to be at our best. One, because this is our job. Two, because the guys that's next to you counting on you in order to keep their job security and also win games and win a Super Bowl.
Okay. All right, Spears, well, you seem to put that to bed in terms of something that should be alarming. Real quick, though, our colleague Bruce Riddick had very poignant comments about Trevor's ability to make this statement and for these statements to come out of his camp and he not be penalized. And then, quite honestly, we're talking about Justin Fields, who has dropped presumptuously, whatever, in the draft status. What's your take on that part of this?
Well, it's stupid when it comes to Justin Fields because it's all of the tropes that we've grown accustomed to about black quarterbacks. And really, like, nobody wants to say it. That's what it boils down to. Like, Justin Fields is black. And these things have been attached to these guys. And that's why it's our responsibility to find out truth. And to find out the things that Justin Fields has done and the things he hasn't done well and break it down in that manner. That's the bottom line, right? I've heard the comparisons, Ohio State quarterbacks hadn't had success, right? The coded language of can't process, is not fully committed to football, all of that. Bull crap. Y'all know I want to say another word. Justin Fields, on the field, just like I just finished mentioning about Trevor Lawrence, has done nothing to tell people that he's not the second best, if not the first best quarterback in this draft. Okay? So we are dealing with two different dynamics, man. And you know I'm not running from that. If you know, MG Jr. know, that I'm not running from that discussion. If this was Justin Fields, if this was coming out of his camp, it would be a different reaction. But you know what I would say? I would say the exact same thing I just said about Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. These dudes are different. They live by a different code. They operate differently. What are they doing when that game film turns on? Are they prepared or not? That's what I'm concerned with. The other thing, the thing about what Trevor said, like I said from the beginning, that was alarming, was that I might walk away from the game or I could walk away from it. However that was brought, that put in people's minds, right? And you think about that now, an abrupt, like I'm out of here, i.e. Andrew Luck, when he decided to leave, obviously had been hit and hit more than you probably ever should be hit in a career. But the bottom line is that is something that teams should reach out about and say, hey, what does this statement mean? How should we interpret this? That question should be asked. But for me, when it comes to Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence from a football standpoint, it ain't that big of a degree of separation. The second thing for me, these dudes are different. And we have to acknowledge that. Like, I'm of the old school. I was the guy complaining about buying teams and NBA championships and all of these super teams starting to develop. I tell you this, I've enjoyed watching basketball. I've enjoyed watching these dudes play. So yeah, I got my old school thought process, and I got things that I think are foundational. But the bottom line is, I got a 14-year-old, I got a 12-year-old, and an 8-year-old. They are not the same as we were. And I had to, as a parent, like, I'm going to tell y'all, I know I'm going on a rant, but this is the truth. I had to, as a parent, my daughter is one of the top volleyball players in the country. I had to, as a parent, realize they not coming out of my situation. They not fighting for their life and to try to change their family's life from a generational standpoint. Their approach is different. That don't mean it's not as important to them.
It's a I think in a very different way it applies to Trevor Lawrence, because you're right. When he says he's playing without a chip on his shoulder, you can't manufacture that when you were the top-ranked player coming out of high school and then you win a national championship your freshman year, Marcus. Like, you can't make that come from nowhere when you really have been believed in your whole life.
And to your point, MG Jr., we got to – like, that the whole chip on the shoulder and all of that, let the athlete tell us they have that. Like – That's not a requirement to be great or a Hall of Famer. That's not a requirement. Some dudes go to the Hall of Fame because they want to be the best at their position. That don't mean you got a chip on your shoulder. That just means I want to be the best. Some dudes go to the Hall of Fame because they love playing the game and they love what comes from the game. The fame, the fortune, all of these things that come along that they use as motivation. My motivation? Take care of my family. That was my motivation. I played football to take care of my family once I got into the NFL. That was the job for me. That's why I wanted to produce at a high level and play. People have different motivations. We cannot try to box it in and say, hey, oh, if you don't have a chip on your shoulder, or if you don't have the Mamba mentality, or if you don't have Jordan killer instinct, or if you don't do this, you don't do that, you ain't going to turn out to be whatever type of player you want to be. That's a lie, y'all, and we know it now. We may have been naive, and that may have been the way we had to come out of our situations or the way we had to approach the game. These dudes not approaching the game like that anymore, and I had to go through my process of not feeling like I need to make them look at the game that way. They don't. But guess what they're doing? They still hooping.
They're still hooping, and we've seen the highlights. Your daughter is still balling out there on the volleyball court.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Rest assured, that is the truth in that one. Follow him on Twitter at mspears96. Check him out on NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern here on ESPN. Marcus, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Much love, family. Y'all took me to church today, man.
Okay, same to us.
I need like my sweat towel right now. I got to bead my brow and everything out here. Marcus, we appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, family. Peace.
Pastor Marcus here joining
us
on the Goodyear Hotline. I felt that one, but
yes, indeed. Just because they do it differently doesn't mean it's effective, Golic. Can I get a yay men?
Can I get a yay men on that one?
Yay
indeed.
Men.
Yay men. All right. Coming up next, as we get a yay men for the NFL draft coming and getting us away from these crazy takes leading up to it, we're going to break into our NFL draft preview. I'm getting ready to do some digital draft stuff for us here with Jason Fitz and some others. And we got some good nuggets, including one linebacker that somehow, despite being bigger than everybody else, still feels like he's flying under the radar. We'll tell you who that is next here. Chenan Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Monica McNutt here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Monica McNutt here today. Our thanks to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, for stopping by. We're going to get back in a little bit to what he's been talking about, what he brought up, you know, after Lewis Riddick's comment today, the difference in the way that we treat Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields heading into this draft, because there are an overwhelming amount of similarities between the two that we want to touch on here. But before we get to that, Monica, I know you spent a lot of time covering hoops right now in the NBA season and college basketball season, but you know, listen, you also have hosted radio through football season. You've lived the insanity that is heading up to the NFL draft too. So we're trying to get people through it as best we can because we know it's a little crazy right now.
Oh, and that is a service for the people, Golic. That's why you're you. Just a special. That is something that you do outside of your craft, outside of radio. That is so important, just like off the field or off the court.
That we say bigger. It's bigger than basketball.
Bigger than basketball.
Sometimes around here. That's how we like to operate this stuff. And so to help get everyone to that point, because we know we're going to spend all the rest of the time talking about quarterbacks, we're cracking into the vault, doing a little draft preview for everyone here. Connor, do you have the music? Oh, yeah, it feels good. All right. Giving you a position group every Tuesday and Thursday as we head towards the draft. We'll give you Mel's big board, a favorite, and one to watch. Now, we got linebackers today, Monica, and Mel Kiper's big board looks like this. As far as the first linebackers, we'll say first four inside and outside off the board. Micah Parsons from Penn State sitting there at number one. No doubt about it. Unbelievable athlete, natural pass rush ability. That Penn State Pro Day was just freak show numbers all over the place. Notre Dame's very own Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, second off the board for linebackers, was outstanding. The glow up for him between last year and this year, remarkable. Jamin Davis, linebacker for Kentucky, sitting there at three. And Zaven Collins at four out of Tulsa. That group all makes an overwhelming amount of sense. And, Monica, I look at this. Micah Parsons out of Penn State sat out this last season. He's one of the guys that's a testament to the fact that if you're just good, they're going to pick you very high still, regardless of whether you opted in or opted out in this COVID season. Because Micah Parsons left 2019 as one of the top linebackers, if not the top linebacker in football, and he walked right into 2020, didn't play a down of football, and is still that dude right now.
Ooh-wee. And you know what? I love the way that we're seeing guys take care of themselves and show that they can do it apart from the traditional ways, because there's nothing traditional about the pandemic. So shout out to Micah Parsons. These highlights are something. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I see you.
He is an absolute mutant. There's no question. And so he's the undisputed, in my mind, number one linebacker in this group here. I think only scratching the surface of what he can become. But if you're watching on ESPN Plus right now, you're watching highlights of Zaven Collins also mixed in here. And Monica, when we talk about sleepers in this upcoming NFL draft, he's the fourth linebacker off the board for Mel Kiper Jr. And I still somehow think we're not talking enough in public about this monster of a man. A 6'4", 260-pound guy playing off-ball linebacker. Monica, this is a dude that grew up in a very small town, Hominy, Oklahoma, where Zaven Collins was the quarterback of his high school football team, accounting for 50 touchdowns and leading for them to a state championship. He did gymnastics as a kid. He's a great golfer. He was a 4.0 student in a small town who was a three-star prospect with no offers until late in the recruiting cycle. And he got to Tulsa and decided to become an absolute monster. So, Monica, I know he's fourth off the board. I think Mel had him going in the top of the second round. But I feel like a guy who is a grizzly bear playing off the ball and linebacker should probably be someone we talk about a little bit more.
Definitely. Now, I think, obviously, everybody's super excited about this class and the quarterback prospects and even some of the skill guys at the top of the draft. So he might be getting a little drowned out. But funny enough, Golic, coming off of our previous segment and all of the comments out of the Trevor Lawrence camp, as you rattled off all of Zaven's accomplishments and other things, the cynical little thing in my head thought, oh, he's not focused on football.
Yep.
Not. Who would ever say such a thing?
It is amazing the things that we concoct, but you're right. We went through this not too long ago with Myles Garrett coming into the draft, where he was a guy that had outside interests other than football. He was well-rounded. He was called a Renaissance man, and somehow people looked at that and thought it might have been a negative.
Get it together. Well, I like these. You just got me hip because I had not gotten this far on my draft board. I'm not even going to hold you. Fortunately, I don't know that my teams are in the market for these positions, but some supers and talent here for sure.
Exactly, and that's all we want to get everyone right on there. So, again, Micah Parsons we know is the name, but Zaven Collins, this guy is just scratching the surface of what he can be as a football player. That is our NFL draft preview, and it is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams for expert advice and the very best paint. Stop into your local Sherwin-Williams store for all of your game day needs. But Monica mentioned the conversation that we were having before, and it's one that Lewis Riddick started this morning when he was on Get Up. It's one I know him and Marcus Spears and the rest of the NFL Live crew had earlier today, and it's one that I think we want to continue coming up next, because Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence have been one and two, have been sun and moon since these guys left high school football, and nothing about that has changed. So why is the way that we receive them so different? Coming up next, I'll tell you what these two quarterbacks have to say about us here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.